Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Adani Ports and SEZ, hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all on Adani Ports Q4 FY22 conference call. From the management today, we have with us Mr. Karan Adani, CEO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Subrat Tripathy, CEO of Ports Vertical, Mr. Vikram Deshpande, CEO of Logistics Vertical, and Mr. Charanjit Singh, Head ESG Investor Relations. Without further ado, I would just hand over the call to Mr. Karan Adani for his opening remarks, post which will we have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Karan.
A very good evening to all the participants. Welcome to the conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance of Adani Port and SEZ Limited for the quarter and year ending 31st March 2022. Let me start with the highlights of FY22 and refreshing memories on our strategic vision for APSEZ. 2 years back, when we embarked on our journey of making APSEZ the largest port company globally, it was clear that the strategy to achieve this stupendous feat had to be customer-centric. Given our 2 decades of experience in the port business, we were aware of the customer pain points in the logistics supply chain, which formed the building blocks of our decision to transform APSEZ from a port company to a transport utility. Our efforts for the last decade provided us with a robust foundation for vaulting into this new growth path. In FY21 and FY22, while we continued our journey for port expansion to drive growth and also mitigate the business concentration risk, but alongside, we developed a roadmap for business transformation and started to action the plan of building our logistics capability. APSEZ's transformational journey reached an inflection point in FY22 with various successful acquisitions and some key project wins. First, we gained 100% control of Krishnapatnam Port through the purchase of the balance 25% stake from the outgoing promoter. Second, we acquired 41.9% stake in Gangavaram Port and signed for an agreement with the promoters for the acquisition of balance 58.1% stake post the NCLT approval. Third was our acquisition for Sarguja Rail Corridor for its 70-kilometer railway line asset in the state of Chhattisgarh. Fourth, APSEZ received LOA from Haldia Port Trust for a 5 million ton per annum bulk terminal. And fifth, APSEZ won the bid for a greenfield deep sea port project at Tajpur, West Bengal. These acquisitions and projects fit well with our strategy of focusing on the East Coast, not only from a portfolio diversification perspective, but also establishing our presence in regions with high growth. We recently made another strategic investment with acquisition of India's leading third-party marine service provider, Ocean Sparkle Limited, that has 94 seaworthy vessels, including 75 tugs. With 27 years of operations, OSL has presence across 28 ports in India and experience of working in key global marine hubs. All these acquisitions implied an investment of around ₹11,400 crores by APSEZ and alongside an organic capex of around ₹3,600 crores. We successfully managed to keep our net debt to EBITDA ratio unchanged at 3.4x. The year also recorded some operational feats by APSEZ team, and we managed to set new benchmarks for India's maritime industry. First, it was a record year of cargo volumes for APSEZ as we crossed 300 million metric ton mark, and achieved a cargo throughput of 312 million metric tons, which also includes 150 million metric tons of cargo handling at Mundra Port, first ever by a commercial port in the country. Secondly, APICZ recorded its highest ever container volume of 8.2 million TEUs, with Mundra alone recording container volume of 6.5 million TEUs, which is 15% higher than its nearest competitor. Another major milestone for FY22 was the visibility on commissioning of various logistics assets, thereby providing sufficient surety that APSEZ is on track to achieve its announced capacity targets. These include investments in 100 trains, 8 operational MMLPs, and total grain silo capacity of around 1.2 million metric ton by FY23. With 5 million square feet of warehousing capacity under construction operation, we are on track to achieve our guided capacity of 60 million square feet. Another noteworthy achievement of the year are two strategic partnerships. Firstly, a joint venture with John Keel's Holding and Sri Lankan Port Authority for construction of Colombo West International Terminal 2. And secondly, a partnership with Flipkart for the construction of over 0.5 million square feet fulfillment center in the upcoming logistics hub at Mumbai. Both these partnerships are ensuring sustainable business growth for APSEZ. APSEZ continues to be guided by the adopted ESG framework to drive sustainable growth. We continued working towards our goal of making our ports carbon neutral by 2025. Some actions undertaken to achieve the objective include electrification of rubber tire gantries, electrification of mobile harbor cranes, purchase of electric internal transfer vehicles, and building renewable electricity capacity. To support our carbon neutrality goal, we are also doubling our mangrove plantation target to 2,000 hectares. We will finalize our net zero plan during the year in line with the commitment made by the Science Based Target Initiative. In November last year, the APSEZ board, based on representation from the ESG and risk committee, had decided to exit from Myanmar. Thereafter, we announced a timeline of June 2022 to action the board's decision. My team has worked very hard to ensure that we deliver on this guided timeline. I am pleased to announce that we have recently signed an agreement for sale of our Myanmar asset. The share purchase agreement signed with the buyer will enable us to broadly recover the investment that APSEZ has made in the project. The deal will be concluded after receipt of proceeds in line with the agreed condition precedent. Let me now invite Subrat, Vikram and Charanjit for a brief on the operational and ESG performance. Thereafter, I will run you through the financials. Over to you, Subrat.
Hello everyone on the call. Let me give you an overview of the performance at the port vertical. I will start with cargo volumes. APSEZ continues to outperform all India cargo volume growth and in FY22 handled a cargo volume of 312 million metric tons, a growth of 26% as against 5% growth registered by all India ports. The said cargo volume of 312 million metric tons includes 30 million metric tons handled by Gangavaram port. Now, to add on to what Mr. Karan Adani said earlier, it is a pleasure to see Mundra port continuing its journey towards glory and set new benchmarks at every turning point. The team at Mundra deserves a special mention for such a spectacular achievement, and I'm sure they're ready for achieving newer heights and win further laurels for APSEZ. Coming to performance of Mundra port, it grew by 4% in cargo volume during FY22, while the APSEZ's portfolio, excluding Mundra, grew by 58%. Non-Mundra ports in the portfolio, especially on the East Coast, are growing faster and have contributed 52% to the cargo basket, which is higher by 10 percentage points. This growth is primarily due to our strategic focus on achieving East Coast-West Coast parity and diversifying cargo mix. With this, we are swiftly moving towards a balance between the West Coast and East Coast, which now improves to 62-38 from a level of 74-26. Our cargo basket continues to see an all-India growth and constitutes 38% container, 50% dry bulk, and 12% liquid cargo. Other products like LNG and LPG that we have added to our cargo basket continues to strengthen our portfolio. Now, let me share some segment-wise cargo data. First of all, on container cargo. During the full year of FY22, APSEZ handled a total container volume of 8.2 million TEUs, a growth of 14% compared to an all-India container growth of 11% on a year-on-year basis. Mundra Port continues to be the largest container handling port with 6.5 million TEUs, which is 15% higher than JNPT. Our strategy of providing multiple entry and exit points by diversifying our geographic footprint, single window service to the shipping lines, integrated supply chain solutions to the end customers, along with partnering large shipping lines through our JVs, enables continuous gain in market share. Mundra currently has a market share in excess of 33% in all India container volume. Our efforts to strengthen the position in container segment, add newer locations, and offer unique solutions to shipping lines resulted in the addition of 9 new container services, of which 6 services were added at Mundra Port and 1 each at Hazira, Kattupalli and Ennore ports. This will contribute around 245,000 TEUs of container volume per annum. Talking about dry bulk cargo, during the year, the total dry bulk cargo handled was 156 million metric ton, which is a jump of 42%. Within this segment, minerals grew by 97%, coking coal by 39%, and a total coal volume registered a growth of 32%. To enrich and diversify our cargo basket, we have added 4 new cargo types, namely sulfur at Dahej Port, dolomite at Kattupalli Port, gypsum at Krishnapatnam, and LD slag at Dhamra Port. We have added new customers at Dhamra Port, including names such as Bhushan Power and Steel Limited. Krishnapatnam Port, which was acquired in FY21, continues to see the adoption of best practices of APSEZ. We are enhancing capacity by debottlenecking and mechanizing operations at a brisk pace. For the first time, limestone was handled through a mechanized conveyor, improving port productivity and efficiency, at the same time helping increase margin portfolio for the product. During the period, we have added 12,000 square meters of covered godown to handle agri products. We continue to add new customers at Krishnapatnam Port, and this will go a long way towards achieving the full potential of the port. Moving to liquid cargo, APSEZ handled liquid cargo including crude of 34.7 million metric tons, implying a growth of 19%. All India liquid cargo handling ports registered double-digit growth. This was led by higher volume handled at Hazira and Mundra ports. As a part of our cargo diversification, we have added LPG and LNG cargoes into our portfolio. In FY22, APSEZ handled 1.5 million tons of LPG and LNG. With the rise in demand for gas products as a greener source of energy, We expect to see volume growth in this segment as well. I'm happy to inform that the LNG terminal, which was under construction at Dhamra, is now nearing completion and is expected to be commissioned in November 22. As you may know, this is a 5 million metric ton capacity terminal with a user pay contract with IOCL and GAIL. Coming to the performance in Q4 of FY22, we've handled 78 million metric tons of cargo in Q4 FY22, which is a year-on-year growth of 7%. This growth was led by Dahej, which grew by 58%, Ennore 61%, and addition of Gangavaram. Cargo volume without GPL was subdued on account of lower import of coal by key IPPs and lower trading coal volume, which was impacted due to higher commodity prices, disruptions in the supply chain. We believe with the revival of demand from coastal power plants due to increase in power demand and softening of prices globally, coal volume in coming quarter is likely to improve. I will now hand over to Vikram to update you on the logistics vertical. Over to you, Vikram.
Thank you, Subrat. Good evening to everyone on the call. Let me give you an overview of the performance at the logistics vertical. Speaking about logistics operation in the last 1 year, Adani Logistics has witnessed a 29% increase in rail volume as compared to last year. That is 313,273 TEUs versus 403,737 TEUs. This has been achieved with recommencement of Kila-Raipur Logistics Park operations in December 21. We have also commissioned Nagpur Multimodal Logistics Park in December 21. With this, we now have a strong Central India presence and have 6 multimodal logistics parks. Furthermore, the logistics parks at Virochitnagar, Taloja and Panipat are under development as per plan. GPWIS vertical continued its growth trajectory, and with new circuits added from mines to power plants, the bulk cargo transportation is gaining momentum and helped us achieve an 100% growth in financial year 22. During the period, Adani Logistics handled 8.81 million metric ton against 4.41 million metric ton in financial year 21. We have also commissioned 13 new rakes during the period. With that, we have 23 GPWIS rakes in our stable, with 2 more rakes to be added by quarter 1 FY23. Adani Logistics now operates 75 rakes as against 61 rakes in financial year 21. We will continue to add rail assets as we expand our network footprint and scale up in existing and adding new circuits. Coming to Adani Agri Logistics, 3 projects of 150,000 metric ton capacity at Panipat, Kannauj and Dhamura have been completed last financial year. Darbhanga and Samastipur projects totaling 1 lakh metric ton capacity are under construction and progressing as per plan. In warehousing, our new Grade A warehousing facilities at Mumbai, Indore, Palwal, Ranoli, Kochi and Virochitnagar are under construction, totaling 4 million square feet, which will be commissioned by quarter 4 FY23. We have successfully signed and closed deals for 0.8 million square feet cumulatively. Furthermore, we are also in final stages of signing LOI with clients for 0.5 million square feet built to suit warehouse. Adani Logistics is on its trajectory to emerge as a leading company in Grade A warehousing with the commencement of new projects while also focusing on strategic acquisitions for warehousing assets. We are working in line with our vision to become an end-to-end integrated logistics service provider in India by creating logistics infrastructure including multimodal logistics parks, warehouses, grain silos and complete rail solutions for container, liquid, grain, bulk and auto cargo. I will now hand over to Charanjit to update you on the ESG performance of APACZ. Over to you, CJ.
Thank you, Vikram, and very warm wishes to everyone on the call. APACZ's ESG effort in FY 2022 gained momentum on various fronts. On the environmental side, the focus is now three-pronged. First, achieving carbon neutrality by 2025. Second, targeting water supply from non-competing sources only. And third is progress towards biodiversity positive status. As emphasized by our CEO, we are marching firmly towards our target of achieving carbon neutrality with various initiatives underway. Besides retrofitting of RTGs and key cranes, APACZ has also initiated transitioning of ITVs from IC engine to battery type. We are also actively exploring low carbon solutions for reach stacker, empty container handler, shunter, dumper and other equipment. With India being a water-stressed nation, we are making necessary efforts to ensure that our water supplies are from non-competing sources, such as treated non-potable water, harvested rainwater or desalinated water. Around 50% of our total water requirement is now being met from such sources. This lower proportion versus the last year is due to inclusion of Krishnapatnam. With the efforts being made at our end, this number will be in the range of 80 to 90% by 2025. APACZ has also intensified its effort towards biodiversity improvement. The company is credited for the management of 6,000 plus hectares of mangrove plantation, a record by any corporate in India. Mr. Karan Adani has already announced for another 2,000 hectares of mangrove plantation to further support our carbon neutrality objective. We continue with our endeavor of supporting the communities in line with group's agenda of growth with goodness. Our social initiatives are currently reaching to around 800,000 people and we are targeting to take this to 1 million people in the next few years. A third party impact assessment of some of the key community focused initiatives is in progress and will enable us to have a more targeted approach. More importantly, we have ended the financial year with outperformance on most of the environmental and social metrics against our targets. From the corporate governance perspective, APACZ's decision to make three of its key board committees, that is Audit Committee, Nomination and Remuneration Committee and the Corporate Responsibility Committee, fully independent is a strong reflection of company's management walking the talk to achieve ESG leadership. Not many companies in India and other emerging markets have achieved this feat. With this, now let me hand over to Mr. Karan Adani to update you on the financial performance. Over to you, Karan Bhai.
Now speaking of the financials, consolidated revenue grew by 27% year-on-year to Rs. 15,934 crores in FY22. This is backed by 21% growth in port revenue, logistics revenue growth by 26%, as well as higher SEZ and port-led development income. During the corresponding year, total EBITDA grew by 22% to Rs. 9,811 crores. Speaking about port operations, in FY22, revenue increased by 21% year-on-year to Rs. 12,964 crores. EBITDA for the same period grew by 21% year-on-year to Rs. 9,120 crores, in line with the increase in cargo volume. Overall port EBITDA margins stood at 70%. Speaking of the logistics business, in FY22, revenue from the logistics business stood at Rs. 1,208 crores, a growth of 26% on account of improving container and bulk rail and terminal traffic, along with improvement in rolling stock both for container and bulk cargo movement. Our efforts to diversify by adding bulk cargo, elimination of loss-making routes and operational efficiency resulted in a significant increase in EBITDA and margin. while logistics business EBITDA grew by 41% to Rs. 320 crores, the EBITDA margin expanded by 283 basis points to 26% on a year-on-year basis. During the year, profit before tax stood at Rs. 5,946 crores and PAT stood at 4,795 crores. During the period, the tax incidence was lower due to the lower composition of profit from APSEZ standalone entity, which was impacted by the forex movement. During the year ending 31st March 2022, trade receivables reduced by 10% from Rs. 2,386 crores to Rs. 2,170 crores. This is despite a 27% increase in total revenue. Accordingly, DSO has improved by 29% from 69 days to 49 days. During the period, net debt to EBITDA remained within the guided range and stands at 3.4 times. The said net debt to EBITDA does not include EBITDA and cash from Gangavaram port. If included on a pro forma basis, the net debt to EBITDA stands at 3 times. Net debt to equity during the year has improved to 0.85x in FY22 compared to 0.89x in FY21. APSEZ continues to maintain its investment grade rating, and two of the three major international rating agencies, namely Moody's and S&P, have maintained a stable outlook. The company has been maintaining key ratios within the desired range while growing rapidly. Moving into FY23, I am confident of APSEZ's growth prospect that are supported by number of catalysts. Firstly, India's GDP growth rate for the year is estimated to be 8-9%, and with the government targeting to make India $5 trillion economy by mid of the decade, we see a good boost to India's exim. Increase in iron and steel trade, which can be attributed to China's decision to cap its steel production to the 2021 levels, and absence of exports from Russia. This is likely to boost coking coal import in India. Another key growth catalyst is the increase in India's power demand and a higher fuel cost allowed as a pass-through by some states, thereby resulting in a recovery in coal volumes at port. Then there are some APSEZ-specific catalysts, such as the start of operations at Gangavaram Container Terminal and Dhamra LNG, wherein we have already signed delivery contracts. Similarly, for our logistics business, we have signed some leasing contracts for the warehousing facility where the construction was started in FY22. Our cargo volumes in March and April are a good reflection of the improving momentum. Considering the mentioned catalyst, we are guiding for volume for FY23 to be in the range of 350 to 360 million metric tons. This will translate to consolidated revenue to be in the range of 19,200 crores to 19,800 crores. Consolidated EBITDA to be in the range of Rs. 12,200 crores to 12,600 crores. Port revenue range of Rs. 16,700 crores to 17,000 crores. Port EBITDA to be in the range of 11,600 crores to 12,000 crores. Logistics business to generate a revenue between 1,500 to 1,600 crores. Capex for the period to be in the range of 8,500 to 9,000 crores. Free cash flow from operations after adjusting for working capital changes, capex and net interest costs during the period is expected to be in the range of 1,400 to 1,700 crores. Net debt to EBITDA is expected to be in the range of 3 to 3.5x. The board has recommended a dividend of 20% of PAT for the year, which is as per the dividend distribution and shareholders' return policy. In conclusion, let me summarize our performance in FY22. It has been a stellar year for APSEZ on multiple fronts. This includes a record cargo volume, organic and inorganic investment, and the strategic partnerships formed during the year. It also marked a critical point in APSEZ's transition from a port operator to a transport utility. We believe that APSEZ is all set to emerge as a proxy to India's growth story of becoming the third largest economy in the world. With a zeal to make India an alternative manufacturing hub, the Government of India is making significant initiatives to boost the country's infrastructure, which is likely to boost the country's economy in the coming years. The analyst estimates are reflecting India's GDP to grow at higher than various other key emerging economies. APSEZ, with a formidable footprint along the entire shoreline of the country and with access to over 90% of the country's hinterland, is all set to ride this growth wave. Our investments in logistics infrastructure, including a network of multimodal logistics park, container and bulk rolling stocks and warehousing facility, are enabling us to reach the customer gate. To enhance customer service, we are integrating technology into our infrastructure platform for a tailor-made single-window solution and capture a higher wallet share. I am sure with all this, we are on track to achieve our FY25 business growth targets. Let me conclude by saying that our focus on customer and sustainability will enable APSEZ to achieve its growth ambition and become a global role model. With this, we can open the lines for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. And congratulations on a very good year, especially on the acquisition of some of the marquee assets. So my first question is, how much is the tariff hike you are baking in the current guidance, given that the cargo guidance is of around 12 to 15% hike, 50% increase. However, the revenue guidance is around 28 to 30%. And are we expecting any improvement in coal supply to Mundra power plants, given that the last year, I think one of the major reasons of, you know, slightly muted growth was primarily because the Mundra power plants were operating at a very, very, you know, low PLFs.
So, we are in our guidance, what we have given, we have not taken a major growth in coal volumes. We have kept it at the same level as what we did last year. In coking coal, we have taken a significant, I would say, 10 to 12% growth in the coking coal volume. But on the coal volume, thermal coal, we have kept it more or less at the same level as what was there last year.
The tariff hike, sir?
Sorry?
Tariff hike, have you taken any tariff hike you are baking in the current guidance? Because cargo is 12-15%, while revenue guidance is 20-30%.
We have also, there is certainly a tariff hike in line with the past trends, but also the revenue number includes OSL.
Okay, understood. And so secondly, on the we are looking to expand the new capacity CT5. Is this expansion of new capacity CT5 is contingent on the renewal of concession agreement? And have you heard anything on the renewal? Can you please share any update?
Yeah. So this is not contingent to the extension of the concession agreement. At Mundra, our existing terminals are operating at 90% plus capacity. And we are seeing a robust customer demand. That's the reason we are very confident that whatever capex we are putting, we would be the payback would be within the concession period that we have. In terms of from a concession period point of view, we are at the last stage of policy rollout. We expect the policy rollout of from Gujarat government to come out hopefully by this year, this calendar year. And we are hopeful for to give a clarity to give that clarity to all the investors once the policy is out.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question is on the 23,000 crore capex plan that we have unveiled. Over what period is this plan? And second, if it changes or anything in our 500 million ton guidance. So does the guidance get increased because of this capex plan?
So 23,000 crore capex, that is keeping in mind not just port, but it is for whole APSEZ, that is ports, logistics, the marine business, the tug business, towage business as well. As you know, in this, last year we had started the new business, which is warehousing. And that is a big, if you see almost from this year's guidance, one fourth of the capex goes towards the new business. From our point of view, the 23,000 crores is an till FY25, and that does not change. This only helps us not just up to the 500, but also part of it helps us to move. After the 500 as well.
Sure. So, secondly, in terms of the expected return from this capex, I mean, prima facie, just a little back of the envelope kind of a number seems to suggest that if 4,100 crore is the EBITDA at an optimum level from this 23,000 crore capex, then the post-tax ROC probably could be lesser than maybe 11% or 12%. If there is any clarity, if you can provide on that, it will be helpful.
Ashish, Charanjit here. We have all the numbers with you, but given that we have only few minutes left for this call, right, 15-20 minutes, so I request that we focus on the strategic questions in this call. For each and every number, the IR team will give you the data points. We have every number with us. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parash Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And, sir, I have some three questions.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. You say your audio is not very clear. It's not audible as well. Can you please check?
Let me try to be as loud as I can.
If you can come in the handset mode. It's actually breaking also. I think it's the network.
Could be actually. I'm dialing it from home. I don't know. Otherwise, probably I'll reach out to CJ after the call.
We can hear you. Parash, we can hear you. Good.
Oh, okay, lovely. Yeah. So first question is, Karan, the whole world is debating about whether we are heading into a stagflation or a recession. You are embarking on a it is like multifold than your previous run rate. What is that price for? For cutting versus your capacity, do you see a room of improving utilization as a way to grow your throughput? And secondly, would be with what's going on in Colombo, does it change? Or do you need to adjust your timeline or a capex with respect to your upcoming venture? Thank you.
Parash, you were breaking off in a little bit, but if I understand correctly, your question was with the uncertainty, global uncertainty, is it the right, what is the confidence level on the capex program that we are embarking on? Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if you see, Parash, in terms of our capex, half of the total capex is in the logistics, and it is focused on warehousing. if you see the breakup, part of that also we are very confident on that is because of the, it has nothing to do with the growth, but it is actually to do with the mindset change from consumer going towards more of digital. And we are replacing a lot of grade B and grade C warehouse to grade A. So if you see, we do believe that the out of the total capex, 2,500 crores on warehousing, we are very confident on, and we don't expect any changes on that front. 50% of the capex on the port side is focused on the container segment, and mainly it is in Mundra, Gangavaram, and Dhamra. And the second is the two greenfield projects, that is Vizhinjam and Colombo. In Mundra, we are already at 90%, as I had said earlier. So there we need to expand because we are seeing significant growth coming in and demand coming in. And we don't expect that demand, slowing down. Gangavaram and Dhamra. Gangavaram is again a new site for us, new territory. We do expect to take volume out of Vizag port over there because we'll have better facility, deeper draft. And same on Dhamra. We've been talking about starting container business in Dhamra when we took over. So we do expect Dhamra to compete and be a hub port for not just Bangladesh but even Calcutta. And as I said, the Vizhinjam and WCT, that is the container terminal in Colombo, we are very confident, and we are very confident on closing on that on those two terminals. I will answer your Colombo question next. And then the remaining 50% of the capex on the port, on that, from that also 50% is in Dhamra itself, and we are seeing the kind of volumes that are coming in. We do expect a lot that we are actually running short of capacity on that front. And and even in Dhamra, a lot of the capex is mechanization.
Yes.
So on Dhamra, a lot of the expansion that we are doing is mechanization and expansion of capacity by mechanization, and it's predominantly to do with the hinterland development in terms of mining and the steel plant expansion that we are seeing. On Colombo, we are very confident. The business. So let me answer the first question. That is, the business rationale for doing a terminal in Colombo does not change. Actually, with the kind of disruptions that we are seeing, we do our conviction on actually the capacity enhancement between both Vizhinjam and Colombo is more solid, and we do believe that that is the right option, to right choice. Given the current situation, we are working in terms of how do we give as much orders as possible through local contractors, and basically to support the local contractor growth and local employment. We don't expect, as of today, we don't expect any major changes in the timeline, and so we do expect that by FY24 we'll have the first phase of Colombo terminal up and operational.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Karan, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vibhor Singhal from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So, Karan, just a couple of questions from my side. We just spoke about the overall capex plan and 50% of it being logistics. Especially in the warehousing, if I look at the next year capex of around 2,500 crores, how do you see that playing out over the next 3 to 4 years? Is it going to be kind of a recurring capex plan? Or is it like kind of front-ended in FY23 and then it's probably going to taper off? So how do we see this enhancing of capacity in the warehouse subsequent?
Yeah, so on warehousing front, as you know that we had last year given our vision statement of 50 million square feet. This 2,500 crores gives us 9 million square feet, which will get operational by Q1 of FY20. By Q1 of next year. So So we do, so till the time we don't reach 50 million square feet, you will see more or less similar recurring capex happening in the warehousing sector.
So the thumb rule could be for, let's say, around 10 million square feet, we would spend around 2,500 crores. We could use that as a thumb rule.
Yeah, 10 million is 2,500. So let's assume for next 5 years, another 10 million square feet will keep getting added.
Keep getting added. Got it. That's very helpful. Also, just wanted to check on the margins front. How do you, our port margins are overall anyway 70%, and we are basically trying to, whatever ports that we acquire, we of course tend to take them to the similar levels. On the same front, where do you see the overall margins for the company going, and any of the ports, would that also be applicable for Gangavaram Port? Taking its margins to around
70%. So, your question is on the margins, right? EBITDA margins?
Yeah, on the margins. Yeah, EBITDA margins.
Just specifically to ports, or you're talking overall?
So, Gangavaram ports and overall. What is the outlook for the three margins separately?
Yeah, so Gangavaram, our target is after the acquisition is completed, we would be taking it up to, we have a plan ready which will take the margins up to 71 to 72%. There are certain costs which we can't touch till the acquisition is not completed. So once that is done, we do expect we will be reaching to 71, 72. We've already reached 66, 65%, if I'm not wrong. Overall margins, I think we will keep pushing, teams keep working on it in terms of from a port point of view, and our guidance still continues that, we'll keep pushing for 1 to 1.5% growth in our EBITDA margins
For overall margins. Got it. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking my questions, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Nigania from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for taking my question. A question I had is the container market share for Adani Ports. We do see some pressure in maintaining that market share in the last few quarters. What could be the reason for that, and how do you see it changing going forward?
I think if you see the pressure that we were facing on the overall container business was mainly on the south side, that is between Krishnapatnam, Ennore, Kattupalli. I think on the north, combining both Hazira and Mundra, we've not lost any market share. Actually, we've been gaining. I think on the south side, we have few opportunities which we are working on and few lines that we are looking at shifting. I think we are confident that this year we will recover on the south side. We should be able to recover. We should be able to recover significantly. On the west, we do continue to push, and as the rail coefficient in Mundra keeps increasing, we are very confident that we will continue to grow our market share on the west side.
Understood. Thank you, sir. One last question. This one big forex cost in this quarter, any views that you could share on that would be helpful because it's a big number.
Yeah, so yeah, as you all know, it's a mark-to-mark cost. As you know that we have a natural hedge. It is not a cash flow item, but it is more of mark to mark. And because of the natural hedge that we have, we actually, because of the dollar income that we get, we don't hedge our debt. And we have always seen that we always look at the mark to market more on the five to six year horizon. And if you see that, it's more or less nullifies itself. And it makes sense not to hedge it because our interest cost remains, interest cost keeps is at the lower side of the lower side, and that's what we focus on. So I don't, to be honest, I don't have any guidance on or thoughts, but this is what we can say, that we continue with our strategy of not hedging, leaving it as a natural hedge. We focus on and we look at more on the net interest costs on an overall cash, and this is not a cash flow item for us.
Understood. Appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I've got just two couple of questions. What is your expectation of monetization of land in the medium term, given the ambitious plans of the group companies? And the second question is about, is there any update about stake sale in Concord? Any update from the government? Thank you.
So this, it's hard to give a longer term on the SEZ because there are multiple one-off items which are coming on in terms of land sale. But we can give you this year's guidance. We have roughly 350 crores of worth of land sale which will happen, and which we have a very good visibility. Actually, we have a full visibility of it. I would not say pretty good, but we have a full visibility. I think there are multiple land deals that we are working on, but it's on an overall long-term basis, you can take 700 to 800 crores every year is what we would be targeting on. And on Concord, sorry, go ahead. You had a question on that? You want me to follow up?
No, I was just saying that. I was just asking about Concord.
Yeah, so on Concord, it's, I'll just restate our thoughts over there. We are very keen on it. It is a strategic asset. From our point of view, as you can see, the balance sheet, it will be a fully funded acquisition as and when it comes. Timing of it, it's difficult to see. I think there is, and very difficult for us to give a timeline, because I think, as you all know, one of the big issue, I mean, not issue, but one of the big steps that government needs to solve on is how will they treat the land and what will be the land licensing fee. I think once that is done, once that is approved, we do expect then the sale process to fast track. But it's very hard to give a timeline as of now.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Sagar Parekh from the Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just hopping on this M2M loss again. I understand it's not a cash flow item, but does it mean that this 500 crore loss is basically, so as the rupee depreciates, your loan amount in absolute terms increases by that much? Is that the right way to look at it?
No, that's not the right way to look at it, because our loan is in dollars, and as well as our income is in dollars. So as part of our policy, the way we look at it is the 5-year, we look at our 5-year dollar inflow and any repayment that has to happen at a particular year, we, as part of treasury policy, we keep that income, we provide for it in our cash flows. So for that, during that particular year. So I don't think because of the dollar movement, our debt increases.
Okay. So in the presentation, you have given about $580 million of revenue in dollar terms. So in FY22, so how much would that be in FY23, and how much is the dollar driven repayments that are coming up in FY23?
I'll request CJ and finance team to answer that.
Yeah, see, with respect to the growth, what we are factoring, you can consider in the same proportion.
Okay. No, so in terms of repayment, liability repayment in dollars for FY23?
Yeah, there you see the chart what we have given on slide number 27, I think.
Right.
26, to be more precise, we have given the coverage what we have. So we have a coverage of around 2.5 to 3. From a longer term perspective, even for FY23.
Okay, so basically the $600 million of revenue in dollar terms will take care of the liability repayment.
Slide number 26, huh? 26.
Okay, I'll possibly take it offline with the IR team. Thanks. That's it now from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody. Our IR team is always available to answer any questions and to clarify. And me and my team are available if there is any doubts that are not settled by the IR team as well. And thank you for your support, and look forward to hearing from all of you.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.